Hare Krishna. I am humbled to be here in such a holy place, on such an auspicious occasion, in such exalted company. It is certainly by Srila Prabhupada's mercy that any of us is here. And it is by his mercy that we will stay engaged in his service, in Krishna's service. We are dependent on his mercy at every stage. There's a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that association with an advanced devotee is the root cause of devotional service. And even after beginning the process of devotional service, association with an advanced devotee will bring us to the perfection of Krishna prema. We have heard that we are on our way out, and that it's really up to the next generation to carry the movement forward. And that is certainly true. Maybe I'm stubborn and attached. I definitely am. But I'm not ready to go yet. I always considered myself, and it's a fact, to be slow. And I felt that I need more time. I haven't moved that quickly to be ready. And one day in Dallas, my mind was preoccupied with this thought. And I walked into the temple room, and a devotee was reading from a book. And within 2 minutes, the devotee read an anecdote that Srila Prabhupada had said that Krishna wants us to come to him, back to Godhead, in the same lifetime. And so if a devotee is not ready, Krishna can extend his duration of life beyond its ordinary course to give the devotee time to finish up in the same lifetime. So, I mean, none of us can say for sure, but I took that as an encouragement. Took it as an encouragement. Now, Srila Prabhupada told a story of, I'll use the names because, well, I don't know if I should use the names because you never know. Someone might be in the audience and feel offended. Use the names. If anyone happens to be offended by what I say, please forgive me and please forgive those who have ordered me. So, a famous religious leader of India had a disciple, and his disciple wrote in his autobiography or memoir that his guru touched him, and by touching him established a sort of spiritual electrical current by which the guru's knowledge and potency was transferred to the disciple. And when the disciple opened his eyes, he saw that his guru was weeping. And he asked him, "Why are you weeping?" And his guru replied, "Because now I have given all my knowledge to you, I don't have any left." So Srila Prabhupada said, this is a mundane conception of transcendental knowledge. It's as if I have 10 rupees and I give you 10 rupees, then I have none left. But transcendental knowledge is different. The more you give, the more you get. And he said, if you have knowledge and you don't share it with others, you will become envious. And I thought of that. What? Why? But yes, because we're meant to help each other. And if we have knowledge that can help someone and we keep it to ourselves, it means we're envious. We don't want others to come up. We want to keep them down. So, addressing the more senior devotees, the more experienced devotees, especially the direct disciples of Srila Prabhupada, or those who had his personal association, we have something very precious which we are meant to share with others. And we should do that. That's how people will come to know Srila Prabhupada and love him, by hearing from those who have some knowledge of him and some love for him. His Holiness Mukunda Goswami once spoke to me about the importance of writing about Srila Prabhupada. He said that sometimes you can gain more by hearing about someone than hearing from the person. And he gave the example of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the six Goswamis. But it's considered a very important work. In all of our temples, Srila Prabhupada established the morning class and evening class, in which his disciples and followers could not just read the verse and purport, but speak about it, speak their realizations. So I think the corollary of that very beautiful appeal to the younger generation of devotees to take advantage of the association of the elders is that the elders should give their association as freely as possible. Another little incident that took place here in 1977, very shortly before Srila Prabhupada left, I was taking rest on the roof of the Gurukul building, and at about 1 or 2 in the morning, a devotee woke me up and said that Srila Prabhupada was calling for me. And at that time, Srila Prabhupada was so ill, we thought, you know, any moment could be the last, any word could be the last. And so I woke up and came into Srila Prabhupada's room, and Srila Prabhupada asked, "So, Do you think this movement will go on after I leave? And I replied, Srila Prabhupada, as long as the devotees are sincere and chant their rounds and follow the regulative principles, the movement will go on. And Srila Prabhupada was very quiet. He had very little strength. With great difficulty could he utter even one word. And after a moment or two, he said, organization. Then paused. Intelligence and organization. From this, I understood that yes, of course, we must be sincere. We must chant Hare Krishna. We must follow the regulative principles. But Srila Prabhupada wanted us to go beyond thinking of what was immediately beneficial for ourselves or what was just a precondition for doing more. But he wanted us to apply our intelligence and be organized to spread Krishna consciousness. And that requires work. It requires work. But I'm glad to see that a lot of work is going into organization, because we have to be organized to spread Krishna consciousness. One disciple of Prabhupada whom I hadn't met in decades, maybe since the time of Srila Prabhupada, he happened to be in Dallas at the same time I was, and I arranged to meet him. And he's someone who, you could say, has had difficulties. I mean, everyone does. But he had some grosser ones. Even when Srila Prabhupada was present. And Srila Prabhupada told him, I want you to be an example of someone who fell down and picked himself up. So what I'm, you know, addressing the more senior devotees, it doesn't matter what's happened. You can always pick yourself up. And I asked this devotee to speak, and he spoke so beautifully. And part of, in a way, his having fallen down and being so humble and open about admitting it, and how in spite of his difficulties, he's trying to pick himself up. That was a great inspiration to the devotees. After the talk, the devotees flocked around him, because he was just so open about where he was personally, but also at the same time incredibly loyal to Srila Prabhupada and full of appreciation and realization. I met a young man who he was contemplating entering Grihastha Ashram, and he said, I suggested he meet some successful Grihasthas and learn from them how they were successful. He said, yes, I'll do that. And I'll also meet the ones who were unsuccessful so I can learn from them what mistakes they made so I can avoid making the same mistakes. So what I'm saying here is that whatever experience we have, whatever realization we have of Srila Prabhupada, we should share it. We can share the wonderful results we've gotten out of strictly following his instructions, but we could also share some of the devastating consequences of deviating from these instructions. And we can also share the experience of Prabhupada's mercy to bring us back, even after having deviated, which, and it's very very instructive, very instructive. So I guess my appeal to the more senior devotees is share your love with the others, share your knowledge, your experiences, your realizations. Of course, how many people can we befriend, you know? 5, 10, 1,000, you know. So that's where that organization and intelligence comes in, how to do it in the most efficient way. And the last thing, just on my way over in the morning, His Holiness Bhakti Madhav Maharaj, Madhurya Madhav Maharaj, he met me and embraced me and said, I hope you'll be spending more time in Vrindavan. And then he said, I hope at the end, when you're not strong enough or well enough to travel, that you'll come and retire in Vrindavan. And it's something we think about, certainly. You think about it all the time. But I didn't immediately commit myself, but I said, you know, coming on this auspicious occasion right in front of Srila Prabhupada's house, I have to take it as some sort of divine message. And then he said, in effect, well, you may not need it, but it will be a good example for others. And I think that, again, is something that each and every one of us can consider as we are approaching the inevitable. What example we can leave personally and collectively. Because people will remember both our words about Srila Prabhupada and our service to Srila Prabhupada and our example, especially at the end. And that, again, is something no matter what we've done or haven't done in the last 40 years or however long it's been, that's something we have the opportunity to do until the very end, until the very last moment. So I pray to all of you to bless me, that whatever time I have left will be used in the best way in Prabhupada's service, and that I can share with others whatever I'm able to share with them, and set some sort of example that at least has some elements worthy of being followed. And I hope that you'll continue to keep me in your association, because it's only in your association that I, or probably any of us, have any hope. Hare Krishna.